Okay, we're back at it.
Many guys who aren't from Oklahoma, Barry, you have no idea. We don't like them. It's personal.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
It's only one Oklahoma, and it was state. And it was state.
We are back at it. Welcome back to another edition of the Pistols Firing Podcast. I'm Carson Cunningham, joined as always by Colby Powell. Well, Colby, we kind of had plans to tape this podcast earlier in the week. It's a good thing we didn't. There's some big news broke today with Mike Boynton being fired at Oklahoma State. So it's good to be with you now as opposed to having to do this all over again.
Yeah, it is. It's been a very weird day for me. Our toddler woke up at about 3:30 this morning, proceeded to throw up about 12 times over the next 4 hours. So we were at the doctor before 9 o'clock. Then we were back home. And my wife stayed home. So fortunately I was able to take a nap. I actually woke up to the Mike Boynton news. Your text is what I woke up to, seeing that Mike Boynton had been fired before I even rolled out of bed after my midday nap. So it has just been a very weird day, and I've been reading some of the commentary, and I think we kind of didn't think it was going to happen because of financial reasons, but it had just gotten so bad on the court. You understand why they decided to do what they did. And just a weird day and the end of what, it's kind of an era that I would almost give a grade of incomplete. I don't know exactly where we're going to go with this, but the Mike Boynton era, I think, is a pretty complex thing to discuss.
Yeah, I have some thoughts. I kind of want to go through them as we go. We are going to have Kyle Boone, formerly of Pistols Firing, currently of CBS Sports, who covers college basketball on the national scale. I saw Boone tweeting about it, and he liked one of my tweets. So I just texted him and said, hey, you want to come on? Because I think he has much more insight on some of the directions OSU could go in terms of what these coaching candidates look like, who would be a good fit, what their resumes are. I mean, you and I can pull up their Wikipedias and look at their wins and losses and make our own assumptions. But I think Kyle Boone's way more tied in nationally, and we're going to have him on here later in the show. So I'm excited to get his perspective on what this job is, what it can be, and what candidates they can potentially target.
Yeah, no doubt. He's much more of an expert, I think, in the weeds of college basketball, whereas we are more centrally focused on Oklahoma State, and looking forward to having Kyle on. And there are certainly some exciting candidates, some that you and I have texted a little bit today that we're not so fired up about and really don't want to be the next head coach at Oklahoma State. Some popular ones that I think would be great, and I'm not sure if they'll come. I'm very curious to talk to Kyle about where he thinks Oklahoma State stands right now as a basketball job, because I think that might play itself out in the next couple of weeks as well, as they look for a new coach. Is this still a big time job, or is this job now brought down to the level that the program's at currently? That'll be kind of fascinating to see what happens there.
Yeah, that's certainly some of the bigger questions we have. I guess let's kind of run through my thoughts, and you can certainly provide kind of just your overall kind of bullet points on what happened today. I got to say, my first thought on this, Colby, was I was surprised. You kind of mentioned it. You and I both figured the money, the kind of built-in excuses he already had with the NCAA, those were reasons I think we thought that Chad Weiberg wouldn't make a move. I think this kind of took me by surprise, but I think it's an encouraging surprise because it tells me, I don't want to bleed into my other thought, but just your overall kind of thoughts on the news when you first learned about it.
Yeah, my overall thoughts were initially sadness that the Boynton era ended this way, because I so badly wanted him to succeed, and the hand that he was dealt was not a good one. I mean, it was about as close to Deuce 7 offsuit as you can get with the ridiculous NCAA sanctions. Oklahoma State is going to have a full 13 scholarships for the first time next season. So a new head coach will come in with no problems. So my initial reaction was sadness. And I want to read this tweet from Marshall Scott that he sent out earlier. He said, I think I saw more OSU basketball than anyone not associated with the program under Mike Boynton. I understand why he was fired today. I would also like to say that he was first class in so many ways, and was so no matter the circumstance. For it being his first head coaching job, he was always so self-aware and understanding. He treats people well. He works incredibly hard. I just think that, when I look back on the Mike Boynton era, the first thought I had was, like, when I look back, I will look back so fondly at who Mike Boynton is and how he represented the university. And I will just wish and wish and wish that it worked out on the court. It just didn't. The on-court product was an abject failure. They were one of the worst teams in the Power Five this year. I understand why they had to do what they had to do. The fact that they had the finances to do it makes me encouraged about the future of the program and potential investment in the program. So it was a mix of emotions, I would say. Sadness that the era ended this way, and then kind of transitioning to excitement for what the future could potentially be.
Yeah, and I kind of think the way they finished the year played a part in this. And look, I know you don't make a decision this huge based on recent results. I'm not indicating that at all. But you got to think, Colby, if they happen to win that Bedlam game, and if they don't literally lose out the rest of the way, it really left, in my opinion, Chad Weiberg no options. I mean, there was no optimism. There's no, hey, look, next year this will happen. It really made the decision rather obvious, because it got to the point where Gallagher-Iba Arena is less than 50% full. It got to the point where I can log on Twitter while Oklahoma State's playing a Big 12 tournament basketball game, and not one single person in my timeline's talking about it, including myself. I'm not above that criticism. That shows you where the level of interest in OSU basketball is. And I think it really left Chad Weiberg no other option, the way the bottom fell out this year.
Yeah, and they were so non-competitive down the stretch. You know, the Oklahoma game was close, and that was a heartbreaker. And then the UCF game following that up was 60 free throws or something. But it was just so non-competitive down the stretch. And I commended this team time and time again for their fight throughout the middle of the season. And I just didn't see that as much late in the year. As a bunch of young guys, and it felt like it was inevitable that things were going to end. And the complete apathy from the fan base that had taken over, and I fell into that as well. I did watch a lot of Oklahoma State basketball games this year. I watched almost every conference game. Didn't get to make it to any this year, but I watched almost every single one on TV. I watched the game against UCF on Tuesday, and this is where my apathy had gotten to, Carson. Like, obviously I wanted them to win because I'm an Oklahoma State fan, but if they would have won, I would have had to watch another game Wednesday at 11:30, and I would have had to make 2 more hours for that. I did a hit with the franchise on Tuesday afternoon after the game with Matt Burton and the afternoon crew, and they asked me how I was doing, and I said, guys, it's a great day. I don't have to watch another OSU basketball game for 9 months. It had become a chore to turn the game on and watch these games knowing that it was just going to be a gut punch almost every single time, and that obviously isn't sustainable. The main reason I thought he was going to stick around was the financial aspect, and the fact that they rounded up all the money between letting him go and hiring a new coach. I saw somebody throw out that's about a $12 million decision they made on Twitter. We'll see how that works with some of Boynton's money potentially getting spread out over time. And there's a lot more that goes into it than that. But yeah, the apathy that had overtaken the fan base, myself included, that's not sustainable. You can't just have one of your two major money-making programs on campus just totally not matter to the entire fan base.
Well, and Scott Wright and the Oklahoman have published a story. Apparently the figures they had previously cited were incorrect, and credit to them, they've sussed it out. His buyout's actually a little higher. The buyout, just less than $9.1 million. And it's subject to a duty to mitigate or obtain comparable alternate employment with offset. So they might be willing to go get another job and offset some of that. And had OSU waited until the April 1st deadline that we had previously heard about, the buyout would total just more than $8 million. We thought it was about $8 million and could be kind of would lessen on April 1st to around $6 million. It's actually a little higher than that. So that's interesting, and credit the Oklahoman for getting that information sorted out. I know these contracts are convoluted and sometimes hard to get the accurate information on that. So Colby, again, that tells me, that's kind of my next thought, that Chad Weiberg did not want to wait, clearly. I mean, if you wait till April 1st, it's clear to me that he informed Mike Boynton and said, let's work this out. I could certainly see a scenario where they kind of negotiate this thing and they take care of each other because there is that mutual respect. But I think I was a little taken aback, too, that they didn't wait till the April 1st. And I get all the reasons why, but I have to admit it surprised me somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, it did. That's not a small chunk of money that we're talking about there. That's a million and change probably that they would have saved. Now you have to wait 3 weeks to do that. And college basketball is kind of in the thick of things right now. Coaches at lower levels are going to be eliminated in the very near future if they did make the NCAA tournament, and they're going to be out on the interview trail. And you do wonder whether Chad Weiberg had a conversation with Mike Boynton and they worked out some sort of way to settle that contract where he could be let go now. And I don't know what that number would be or what those conversations would look like. But I think it really is encouraging that they decided to pull the trigger on this, because that tells me that behind closed doors, there is somebody or a handful of people willing to write big checks to make Oklahoma State basketball relevant again. And, you know, we've talked a lot about there's only a certain number of dollars to go around, right? And donor fatigue and all those things. But the dream is that you have enough money to support football and you have enough money to support basketball. That's the dream for every university, because those are your two revenue sports. And if Oklahoma State had the money to dish out on this, then I like to think that Oklahoma State would have some more money in the holster for NIL to get the program kind of kickstarted, right? It's in neutral right now. It's at the bottom right now. You need something to get it going. So the fact that they didn't wait until April 1st, they got this done right now. They were willing to eat that large buyout. That tells me somebody with deep pockets wants this program to get back to a place of prominence. And as an Oklahoma State basketball fan, I think everybody should be excited going into this offseason as to what the next several years could look like, as opposed to what the last several have looked like on the floor.
They must have more money than we thought, because as Mike Boynton certainly pointed out himself, OSU was at the bottom of NIL in terms of what they were able to pay players. So it's clear to me that someone or Chad Weiberg has been, and don't forget, Chad Weiberg's entire background as an athletic director has been built around fundraising. That is one of his strongest attributes. And he's no dummy. I mean, when he took over, he's seen where the basketball program has been prior to Mike Boynton. He's seen now through 7 years of that. He knew this day was coming sooner rather than later. And so it's interesting to me that he wasn't deterred by the buyout. And he knows that any coach he goes to recruit to be the next head coach, he has to make some assurances on NIL, because that's how the game is played now. So that to me is thrilling. And that leads me to my next point, Colby. This move was a big time move by Chad Weiberg. It seems like it's the obvious move to make now that he's done it. We all know the lack of success on the court. This took some stones, just to be frank, because I think some lesser athletic directors, and certainly ones that like Mike Boynton as much as literally everyone does, they might have just said, hey, look, he's had to deal with that NCAA stuff that was so wrong of them to put on OSU basketball. Hey, there is this buyout. Hey, we want to see him retain these players we currently have. Like, there was a lot of built-in excuses for Chad Weiberg. So I want to give him a ton of credit here. He showed some real stones, some cojones, because this is a big move. And it's also a move where he wants to make no mistake about it. He does not think that Oklahoma State basketball is any less than the best in the Big 12. This is a guy whose brother perished in the plane crash. He has OSU basketball pumping through his veins. It is in his family's blood, OSU basketball. So he has an immense sense of pride in this program. I think I may have underestimated that when I was assessing the value or assessing the move he would make on Mike Boynton. So I want to give Chad Weiberg some credit here, Colby, because some other ADs might not have made this move with all the built-in excuses there were.
No, you're absolutely right. And this is kind of, I don't know if I would say his first big decision, but Chad Weiberg has not been handed a ton of hiring decisions to make at Oklahoma State. And this was a big one, because the financial element is very real. The fact that you've got a guy that a lot of people like, I mean, that stuff matters. And he was able to pull the trigger and get this thing done. And I do think he deserves some credit for that. And we'll see how the coaching search goes. I do wonder if he has someone in mind, a couple of people in mind. I don't know, because again, if you're wanting to get him out the door now, if you're wanting to make this announcement now and not wait until April 1st, then you probably have someone on your radar. I think this is a massive, massive hire for Chad Weiberg, and he's given himself the opportunity to now go out and get his guy and kind of take his control over the program. I think he absolutely made the right decision here. To run it back next year, it would have saved you some money and you would have had some potential with some of these young players. But if you run the same young players back with the same coach next year that were one of the worst teams in the Power Five, even if there's improvement there, what is that improvement? Instead of being the worst team in the Big 12, are you the eighth team in the Big 12 if those guys all get better? I just don't know where the gap is there. So for him to pull the trigger on this move, I definitely think, like you said, it took some stones, and I think it was the right decision. To me, the only question was the finances. And if they could make that work, then I think moving on was the right decision. Could you just – you have to inject some life back into this program, empty arenas, people not watching, people not talking about it, just becoming an irrelevant program. That's not an option, because that can fester, and if that goes on for too long, then it can stay that way, and nobody wants that.
Yeah, and make no mistake, too, this is going to shape how we view Chad Weiberg's tenure. I mean, it very much did so with Mike Holder, the Travis Ford fiasco. We've gone over this time and time again, the Brad Underwood situation. It's going to be fascinating to watch this coaching search play out under Chad Weiberg, because Colby, you remember last time it was very strange. It was public. We knew that who they were interviewing, rather, when Brad Underwood left in the middle of the night, showed up on Twitter with that Illinois athletic director. It was like the Board of Regents and Mike Holder and like, basically who's who in Stillwater, like interviewing the staff that remained. They also interviewed one Doug Gottlieb, who we'll get to. This is going to be much different. This is going to be much like a Sam Presti type situation, based on the things I'm hearing, in terms of, I think Chad Weiberg is an experienced administrator. I think he knows that if he tells anyone, it will get out. And I don't expect that to happen. I think we're going to find out who this coach is when the hire's made, because I think Chad Weiberg is a smart guy, and I don't know what he's looking for per se. I just know that this is going to be way less public than it was last time.
Yeah, I think so too. There's going to be a lot of behind closed doors conversations happening. And I expect Oklahoma State to go the route of a small school guy who has done a lot of winning. You know, last time they went with an assistant who was on staff, and you know, great guy. It just didn't work out. I don't think that that's going to be the play. I don't think they're going to get a guy that's never been a head coach. You want somebody who has proven that they can win at the Division I level, and that can be a lower level at Division I. I know everybody wants Dusty May. I'm sure we'll get into him. I don't think he's coming, but I think you have to go get a guy who's been a head coach, who's done it for several years. You've got a large enough sample size to know, okay, this guy at his level, whatever level that is a winner. That's what you didn't have last time. You had the unknown with Mike Boynton. You didn't know what he was going to be as a head coach. I think you need to know a little bit more this time. And I would be really surprised, Carson, if Chad Weiberg did not hire someone with significant head coaching experience.
No, I think that's who they have to hire. It'll be interesting to see if they go after. Because I agree with you. Like, I think you go get a proven winner, a proven ass kicker at the mid-major level, excuse my language, but that's what you need. I very much view this very similar to when they hired Brad Underwood. And this kind of leads us into the Doug Gottlieb talk that's all over sports radio today. You know, I was doing this podcast back then, and I was on the Doug Gottlieb train. I really was. You know, Kyle Porter and I talked about it a ton. We cited the Fred Hoiberg example, who was killing it at Iowa State at the time. You still look at Steve Kerr, straight from the announcer's booth to Hall of Fame career as a head coach, had never coached in the NBA level. There's certainly examples that it could work. But I think kind of what I saw play out with Brad Underwood's the way to go. You go hire a guy who's done it, who's proven winner, who's coached at this level, and you go hire the best coach that can do that. And it didn't work with Brad Underwood because there's a lot of reasons why he left, but I view it very much the same. So my tune has totally changed on the Doug Gottlieb thing. Like, do I think it could work? I still do. I just don't see Oklahoma State doing that, nor I don't think they really should this time around, because this is too big of a move. You're spending way too much money to get rid of Mike Boynton. The program has fallen to depths it has not seen in quite some time. I think I read this was the worst seasons of the past 40 years. Two of them were under Mike Boynton, and one was under Travis Ford in 2016, and then it was Leonard Hamilton in 87. So 2024, Mike Boynton, 2019, I believe Mike Boynton, and the other two I just referenced. So they're at a depth that they haven't seen. We keep saying like, oh, it can't get any worse. Well, it's at the bottom right now. And I don't think you can make a risky hire like Doug Gottlieb. I'm sure you could argue the other side of that, Colby, that what do they have to lose? But you just go hire the best college basketball coach like they did with Underwood. Didn't work out with Brad, but we can all agree he had that place. Gallagher Iba was buzzing at the end of that season when they made the NCAA tournament. He's still a really good coach at Illinois. So that's, I agree with you. Go hire a mid-major who's a proven winner and knows NIL.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't totally understand the desire from a large chunk of the fan base. And I don't even know if it's a large chunk. I've been on Twitter. I heard some stuff on the radio. I shouldn't say large chunk. It's probably a silent minority. I don't understand the Doug Gottlieb thing. You can go out and you can hire a proven coach. And after you took a risk on an assistant, it didn't work. And after 7 years, you had to fire him, need a huge buyout. You want to go hire another unproven head coach who, by the way, was an honorary member of the staff this year, part of right. One of the worst seasons in the history of Oklahoma State basketball. Like, are we just not going to acknowledge whatsoever that Doug Gottlieb was in Mike Boynton's ear all season long, and it was one of the worst seasons of Oklahoma State basketball ever? I don't know, Carson. I don't want to just sit here and denigrate Doug Gottlieb. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I want to go get somebody who's been doing this year in, year out, who's been walking into kids' living rooms, who's had to deal with sitting in front of the microphones after a tough loss. I don't know, man. I don't totally get the Gottlieb thing. I want him to go out and... ball tournament, and he helped Mike Boynton and stuff, but that is so much different than a guy who spent the last 5, 6, 7 years at a mid-major program establishing success year after year and learning how to operate in the college basketball landscape that we see today. I totally don't understand the Gottlieb thing. I think there's a negative percent chance that it happens. I think more than anything, that's a sports radio conversation. I don't think there's any chance he's the next head basketball coach at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I mean, I don't either. I certainly understand him being an OSU guy. Like that has been a proven model of success at Oklahoma State. And I don't have to go through all the coaches that are alums. You all know the list. I certainly understand that. But I also understand that Doug already went through this recruiting process or this interview process the last time around. And from what I heard, it did not go well for him in terms of with the Regents. I think Kyle Boone has more insight on that than I do, but that's what I heard at the time. So I think OSU themselves have already been down this road, even though Chad Weiberg was not there. I know the Weiberg family and Doug know each other well, obviously, since he played at Oklahoma State. But I'm out on it. I'm with you. By the way, the Big 12. I know they're losing Texas and Oklahoma, but you got Arizona coming into the league. Does that excite you? You got Houston. You know, you got Houston and Utah coming into the league. I mean, this league's about to get harder. Colorado's had much more NCAA tournament success than Oklahoma State recently. Arizona State, you know, those Pac-12 schools are coming. So the league is not getting any easier. And you need to have a proven coach who can go up against those big boys, much like Brad Underwood was. So I've really, really changed my tune on the Doug thing. And I get he would bring some level of excitement, but how long does that really last, Colby? I mean, you know, we all know Doug's a great communicator. Mike Boynton's one of the best communicators I've ever listened to. How long does that wear off when you're not winning basketball games? And that's not to say Doug can't. We don't know, but it's just I would go another direction.
Yeah, I'm sure people would love Doug. People loved Mike. I still love Mike. I hope he has all the success in the world wherever he winds up next. But that's not enough. You need a proven head coach at this point. So I think we're very much on the same page. I don't see it happening. I don't think it's something that we're going to have to worry about. If so, then I guess I'll come on here and eat crow for saying that there's a negative percent chance of it happening. But I feel very confident that Oklahoma State will go hire a proven head coach this time. It just seems it's staring you right in the face. It seems way too obvious of a decision.
Well, the opinion of OSU basketball program itself is way down. Joe Masato has already put out a column ranking the Big 12 jobs. Says he came up with 6 factors ranking each of the 16 Big 12 schools and every factor from best to worst, 16 points for the best, 1 point for the worst. Then he averaged each school's combined score to get his rankings. He has Oklahoma State. Where do you think he has OSU ranked on this?
We kind of went through this exercise a couple of weeks ago, and we came up with quite a few ahead of Oklahoma State. Top of my head, I'm going to say he's got Oklahoma State as the eighth best job in the Big 12.
He's got him at 12th. He says, this is interesting. West Virginia and Oklahoma State are both looking for a new head coach, and they rank back-to-back here. West Virginia was tied for 10th. I think there was a two- or three-way tie, two-way tie for 10th. The Cowboys have, he says, a lack of recent success plummeted OSU's score. The Cowboys have the worst winning percentage of any Big 12 school in the last 10 years. It's still a proud program, though. So, and look, anyone without any ties to Oklahoma State isn't going to get it. And you're going to look at, you know, the recent history with 7 years of Mike Boynton and the tail end of the uber disappointing Travis Ford era. So yeah, like I can see why someone like Joe Masato would rank Oklahoma State 12th. While my opinion of OSU's program has lowered a tad, I still think that's far too low. I think you can win huge at Oklahoma State. Again, to me, that's the greatest example of this is Texas Tech, who doesn't have a tenth of the tradition of Oklahoma State. As soon as they got a head coach that could coach a lick, and they have another one, by the way, in Grant McCaslin, who's doing a decent job there, the place was full, and they were winning in Lubbock. Gallagher Arena is frothing at the mouth for a winner, and I would rank them much higher with that building, that fan base, and that new shiny new locker room they've got, and then waits to be seen on NIL, which he did not factor into his rankings.
Yeah, I think it's just been so long since we've seen that excitement surrounding the Oklahoma State basketball program, because I think a big thing, too, that hurt the image of Gallagher Arena and of what that means is that Cade was at Oklahoma State during the COVID year. It was like, what, the 20% attendance, 50% attendance? I don't remember what it was. I went to a game. They had half the seats roped off. It was a mess. And that was the most exciting season of Oklahoma State basketball since the Underwood year, whenever Juwan Evans was there, and you didn't get to pack GIA. I do understand why Oklahoma State is that low on the list, because right now I think that there are going to be a lot of people saying, okay, I have to see it with that program. I saw it 20 years ago and that was great. That was a blast. So much fun, but I've got to see it now. I've got to see that in the modern era of college basketball, NIL, transfer portal, all those things, the investment from the university and just getting all the puzzle pieces right, getting the fans in the building. I understand the idea from people of I've got to see it to believe it that Oklahoma State can get back to that level. So while I would probably have Oklahoma State more kind of in that number eight range that I threw out off the top of my head, I understand why they're lower, because it's just been so long since we've seen that true excitement surrounding the program and a packed out GIA. I get it. It's hard for people to visualize it, to see it, to understand what it was. So, yeah, I think Oklahoma State's going to have to do it again before people really believe that that's still a thing.
And I have two free squares when it comes to Oklahoma State basketball coaching search bingo. Do you know what they are? I think we've already talked about one of them.
Dusty May is the obvious one. Everybody in the country is going to want Dusty May.
No, that's I hadn't gone there yet. But I'm just saying, okay. Let's say they hire someone and they fire him in 5 years. What are the two talking points going to be? Who are the two people OSU fans going to be talking about?
Doug Gottlieb, I guess. I'm misunderstanding your question here. So lead me to the water so I can drink.
Yep. Sorry about that. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter what year it is now. This is the second or third round of Bring Doug Home. That's the one free square. The other free square is go hire Bill Self. What's Bill Self doing? He's an alum. His folks still live in Edmond. I'm already seeing that on the chamber on Pistols Firing. There's already a higher Bill Self thread. I know Kansas is down this year and things aren't going great up there, but you don't leave Kansas to go to Oklahoma State. You just don't. Even if you went to school there, even if you love Edmond, even if you love Stillwater, even if you worship to the throne that is Gallagher-Ibo Arena, I've been to Allen Fieldhouse. He's a made man. He's won a multiple national championships there. You don't leave Kansas for Oklahoma State. So, like, it doesn't matter if Bill's retired living in Tahiti. he's going to get brought up for this job. Just mark it down. He already has for this time around.
Oh, yeah, I believe that he'll get brought up. Simply just not happening. Also, can you imagine if he did in Stillwater half of the things that he did in Lawrence, the NCAA might give Oklahoma State's basketball program the death penalty. That's just where Oklahoma State basketball and the NCAA's relationship is at. The things that he got away with at Kansas, they would hammer Oklahoma State for. It's a nice thought that Bill Self would come home. Bill Self's not coming home. He has a new home, and I think he's very comfortable where he's at.
Yeah, it's not happening, but I did want to mention that. So we're going to have Kyle Boone join us here in just a few minutes. And we're going to have him talk about some of the candidates. And before we do, you've mentioned Dusty May. You threw his name out there, the coach of Florida Atlantic. You touched on it, Colby, like mid-major guy who's winning big, but you mentioned also that a lot of people are going to like Dusty May. So what, this early on, you know, Mike Boynton was fired today. Like what places are you looking for a head coaching candidate?
Yeah, Dusty May is the dream. I think it's a pipe dream. I don't think it's happening. He is, I think, too big of a name, too hot of a commodity for what Joe Masato says is the 12th best job in the conference and what I think is probably just a middle-of-the-pack job in the conference right now. He's happy where he's at. He could have left last year after the Final Four run, and he didn't. He stayed. He signed a big, long contract extension that had a buyout on it, and I don't think he's going to just jump up to any old Power 5 job. I think he's waiting for the Power 5 job for Dusty May. So that's one that I would love, but I don't expect it to happen. You sent me earlier Darian DeVries, DeVries at Drake. I was unfamiliar with his work. I did a little investigating on him this afternoon. He's a good coach. He's done a lot of winning at Drake, 150 wins to 54 losses in his time there. So that's, I mean, you're winning three games every time you lose one. He's made the tournament a handful of times. So I really like that. I don't love the Will Wade idea at McNeese. But yeah, we'll get into it some more with Kyle Boone. But I would love Dusty May, but I really think DeVries at Drake is a nice name to look at too. He's done some winning at that level, and that's the kind of guy I think we're looking for.
Yeah, that's the name I texted you. Like, and again, I don't know if they're going to hire, you know, the coach of Drake, but he kind of fits the mold of what you and I have been talking about and what I view would be the best hire. Now, of course, if all that being said, if you can go hire some Power 5 coach to come coach at Oklahoma State that's had a tremendous amount of success, I'll be right there clapping at the introductory press conference. I just don't think that's going to happen. So the type of mold I'm looking at is DeVries. I mean, again, he's got six straight 20-win seasons. He won back-to-back Missouri Valley Conference Tournament Championships. His stock is about as hot as it gets for a mid-major. And the timing's right. His son, Tucker, is about to graduate. So his name is going to be in the rumor mill. And maybe that's why Chad Weiberg makes this move when he does. He can't wait around on candidates like him. I'm not saying Chad Weiberg's targeting DeVries, but this type of coach is why he makes this move this soon. And I think that's the mold you have to go after, is a guy that has killed it at the mid-major level who will bring that template to Oklahoma State. Because as we've talked about so many times, Colby, like, you can turn around a basketball program quick. That's what you just need a few dudes, especially now in the NIL era. It's more, you can do it quicker than ever. And he also has had success in the transfer portal. So a guy like that really, really fits the mold for me.
Yeah, and also I love his past resume. Prior to being a head coach, he was a longtime assistant at Creighton under Dana Altman, who, you talk about a tournament assassin. Dana Altman knows how to get his teams ready for the tournament. Oregon, every year it seems like, comes in as a 7 seed, a 12 seed, whatever it is, because nobody's watched them all year because they're playing at 9:30 at night, and they just light people up in the tournament making Elite Eight runs. And then Greg McDermott. So I like the coaches that he's coached under. I would imagine he learned a lot of things from those guys, and he's been successful in his stop. And I could see him wanting to move up to the Power 5 level and liking what Oklahoma State would have to offer. So I would say right now, assuming Dusty May is out of Oklahoma State's reach, he would be my number one choice if I'm going that direction.
Yeah, I like it. And kind of last thought for me before we talk to Kyle Boone, just really feel sad for Mike Boynton. We all wanted it to work. I mean, I don't think I've met a cooler coach than Mike Boynton. He's just a cool dude. I mean, he came on this podcast after he was hired, and Kyle and I literally didn't know who he was when he was hired, much like most people. I mean, he wasn't even the lead assistant at the time. And he came on with us, and I'll never forget it. He was so cool. Dude, he's the same guy he is today. He was all the way back then, and he crushed it. And Kyle and I, we really bought into the fact that if he can recruit, this could work. And he did recruit. I thought he could be Oklahoma State's Scott Drew, who I didn't think could coach a lick his first several years at Baylor. He just couldn't. Someone taught him a zone defense, and boom, he's had tremendous success ever since. And Scott Drew really just recruited wins. He just recruited a bunch of monstars down there at Waco. And I thought Mike could do that here at Oklahoma State. It just flat out, for all the reasons we've gone over 1,000 times, did not work. But he's a superhuman being, and I really hope he lands on his feet elsewhere. He'd really become a part of the Stillwater community. So these aren't things you celebrate. It's what has to happen for Oklahoma State basketball to get back to where they're supposed to be. But I think I speak for everyone when we say we wish it could have been under Mike.
Yeah, no doubt. And me, you, I think people listening take no joy in Mike Boynton's failure. We wanted Mike Boynton to succeed. We wanted him to be the guy. I said it so many times. I want this to be the guy to get Oklahoma State back to basketball prominence. And he just wasn't. And you feel bad for him. He obviously, his family took to Stillwater. His kids are elementary and middle school age. And now he's got to press the reset button, but that's the reality, right? It's a Division I head coach, and reality or not, I just would have loved for him to be able to do some more winning. He was a world-class guy. He was a great representative for the university, for the program. He was nice to everybody. You'd see him walking by. We sit in the West End zone there at the football stadium, and he was almost all the games. You'd see him walking by. Everybody who stopped him to get a picture would get a picture. Everybody who stopped him to say hi, he would stop. He would say hi. He would talk to people, have conversations. He was just a good guy. And I know things are measured by wins and losses, but I think Mike Boynton and the way we remember him will go a little bit deeper than that, because I will remember that the on-court stuff was a failure, but I don't think I'm going to forget anytime soon just how good of a guy Mike Boynton was and how well he represented Oklahoma State University. So I think a lot of that stuff goes without saying. We've been saying it for years, but it's good to remind people that despite the program moving on, Mike Boynton handled everything exactly the right way in his 7 years in Stillwater.
Yep, sure did. In a complete moment of irony, Travis Ford fired today as well at St. Louis. St. Louis has parted ways with Travis Ford. And look, I don't mean to kick the guy while he's down, but he was there 8 years and made one NCAA tournament. So it's been he hasn't exactly lit it up since leaving Oklahoma State. He has been let go as the head coach of St. Louis. But we do have Kyle Boone from CBS joining us now. He's logging on now. Kyle, if you can hear me, thanks for joining us. Colby Powell and I were just kind of going through all of our thoughts on this, and we know you're very tied into the national scene now that you're CBS. But first off, just welcome back to the Pistols firing world. It's good to have you.
What is up, fellas? I am so glad to be here. I passive aggressively was liking Carson's tweet earlier, just basically begging for you to bring me on the podcast. So I appreciate you indulging me.
Well, I'm glad you did, because I've been busy. I've been doing my actual job today, and I got your notification that helped me even think of you. So I'm glad you did it, because I was so busy I didn't have time to really think about having you on. But it's so important, because I mean, Colby and I, we can look up Wikipedia pages and wins and loss records and tournament victories and all that, but I think you have a lot more insight on candidates, and we'll get to that. But I guess my first question would be, were you surprised? I mean, Colby and I were surprised due to the money situation, and there were some built-in excuses with the NCAA. But what was your level of reaction?
Yeah, I think throughout the season, it seemed like this needed to happen, possibly just because the arena has not been filled to capacity. I feel like they're losing quite a bit of money. Fan interest has been down across the board, and the team has not been very good. There's a lot of reasons for that, but, you know, I think as recently as 2 weeks ago, I would have said, like, you know, probably 70-30, he's probably coming back just because of the buyout. But I think probably ultimately they just decided that They're just going to bite the bullet. They're gonna do the payout, the buyout, which I believe, according to Jacob Unruh, is $9.1 million. And they can, you know, spread that out over multiple years. And obviously, it can be mitigated based off of if he gets another job elsewhere. So yeah, I think, you know, long way of answering your question. I was a tad surprised, but over the last couple of days, I think there was some smoke that this could potentially be heading in this direction. And then Oklahoma State, obviously, losing in the first round of the Big 12 tournament in the way they did, pretty disheartening, and yet like also not really registering, I think said a lot, because, you know, like I have a ton of OSU fans, and it wasn't like, oh man, that sucked. It was like, oh, I forgot they played, you know, or like, oh, I didn't even realize that that Oklahoma State season was still happening. So like, just the level of apathy, I think that the program has reached. It felt like, you know, this was kind of the right choice to make for OSU.
Yeah, it did. And Kyle, we've talked a lot about Mike Boynton, just on the court, off the court, but his legacy at Oklahoma State. And I know it's day of, it's hard to come to terms with some of these things, but when you look back on Mike Boynton's tenure, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you're talking to somebody about Oklahoma State basketball and Mike Boynton gets brought up. What are a couple things that you'll remember, whether that's on the court, off the court, how he treated people, the lack of success, the Cade year, the NCAA sanctions? There's just his time at Oklahoma State was just a total enigma. It was chaos. It was all over the place. What are you going to remember whenever you look back at Boynton's tenure?
Yeah, I will remember this tenure fondly. And, you know, no one wants, you know, like a personal interjection of a story, but I mean, like I went through quite a bit over the last few years, and Boynton was always there, like just to offer support. He was very kind and gracious. And you know, like he's had me a basketball signed by the basketball team in like 2021. And just the way that he treated people, I think people will remember him fondly. Obviously, as time passes, people will probably forget about the basketball element. This team wasn't very good during his tenure for the most part. But the way he treated people, they had some great moments. You know, D. Mitchell, I remember, was a walk-on player who, you know, was working at Walmart, ended up getting a scholarship. That was a terrific moment in 2021. You know, when Boynton celebrated, and, you know, his celebration went viral after OSU landed a commitment from Cade Cunningham. That was awesome. Boynton's just celebrations in general, just being like a guy you want to run through a wall for, I think is so relatable. And just as a fan, like you wanted him to succeed. And so I'll remember that as well. I mean, he was every time you talk about Mike Boynton to someone else, you always hear like he's such a good guy. And it's not just like coach speak or, you know, however they would say cliche. He's genuinely a nice guy. And so I think the impact that he left on his players, the people around him, the support staff, people in the administration, will last a long time. And I know, you know, in this day and age, people like to look at kind of wins and losses, and that's a measure of success. But I think to some extent, that would be wrong, because Boynton was successful as a head coach, even if, you know, the wins and losses didn't necessarily stack up in the way that people hoped. But he was a really impactful player who cared about everyone around him. And he made an impact on my life personally. I know he's made an impact on other people's lives as well.
Yeah, he's a great dude, cool dude. He'll be missed from that aspect for sure. I mean, Kyle, last time around, I mean, there haven't been very many coaching searches. Certainly, I'm a lot older than you, and I still haven't covered very many. The last time I mentioned this to Colby, it was pretty public in that we knew kind of the regents were all in a room interviewing the current assistants that were left behind by Brad Underwood. We knew Doug Gottlieb rolled up in his orange sports car. It was kind of like almost like a public process.
Yeah, that was weird.
How do you envision this process going with Chad Weiberg? Because I think he's made a clear statement of intent. We all know his family history with OSU basketball. We know the pride that's there with that, but we also know the importance of the athletic department to have a quality men's basketball program. So how do you see this going under Chad?
Yeah, I think Chad has been probably preparing for this moment, this situation for a long time. As an athletic director, you know, even if you don't have previous plans to fire a coach, you're always kind of looking at the candidate pool to see kind of what's out there. So this year in particular is a really good year if you're looking to hire a men's basketball coach, because there are a lot of coaches that are potentially on the market. There's a lot of mid-major coaches. There's a lot of high major coaches that, you know, may be a little angsty and wanting to jump to a different spot. I think with Chad running this search this time, I think that he's probably got a pretty good idea and understanding of what he's looking for. I would imagine he's probably looking for someone who is currently a head coach or has head coaching experience. Someone who has been successful previously, not necessarily ignoring someone from the mid-major level, but perhaps prioritizing someone who has high major coaching experience before. I'm sure we'll get to the candidates list here in a little bit, but I mean the candidates this year in particular are like, yes, there hasn't been a lot of coaching searches, but this year, like, I'm actually, you know, of course, maybe we'll end up with no one, but I'm actually pretty excited about the prospects that OSU could reasonably pull in this year.
And before we get to the serious candidates, I'll say that. I won't make you say it. I do want to talk about kind of a fan favorite. At times, we've done the bring Doug home thing. I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think there's any chance that it happens. Your thoughts on how that all went down last time around, where the program was at then compared to now, and what you think might come of that this time?
Yeah, he's persistent, right? I think he has a lot of people who he knows how to rally the troops around him. I don't think we need to waste any air on it. He's not going to be the head coach at Oklahoma State. You can book it. I don't think he will get an interview. I don't think he will be in the mix. I think Chad has a pretty good idea and kind of a category and qualifications that he's looking for as the next head coach at Oklahoma State, and Doug Gottlieb does not meet those qualifications.
Yeah. And I mentioned this before you came on too, Kyle, like, I'm interested in your perspective. Like, we both kind of had some insight into that room when Doug met with the regents and stuff. He's kind of already laid out his ideas of being the head coach at Oklahoma State. And I don't think the room was very receptive last time around. And obviously Chad wasn't in that room, but just to kind of put a bow on it, I mean, I don't think he's kind of had his shot. It's kind of the way I viewed it, with the way, at least what the reception was to his plan last time around.
Yeah, and I don't even think necessarily, right, that it's a indictment on, you know, Doug as a basketball mind or as a person in general. You know, it's just Oklahoma State's a pretty good job, right? And we're not looking at this through like orange tinted glasses. This is a team and a program that should be in the top half of the Big 12, and handing the reins to someone who, you know, for better or worse, Doug doesn't have the coaching experience that a lot of other qualified candidates are going to have. So, you know, maybe you go and get coaching experience elsewhere, and maybe we could talk about Doug if, you know, he's been an assistant coach at Washington State or Arizona State or something. But he just doesn't have that experience. So it'd be really difficult. It'd be a huge ledge to kind of walk on to hand the reins to him. And Chad, obviously, this is a hugely important hire that he needs to get right. I mean, this basketball program has really gone by the wayside the last few years, really since Cade. Things really have not been good. But honestly, like, even dating back to Underwood, you know, Underwood's one and done year was really the last time it felt like things were really starting to turn in the right direction. So you nail the hire, you get someone who can win and turn things around right away, then you're rolling, and you know, it can change things in a hurry for not only your basketball program, but maybe for your athletic department as well. Conversely, you know, you give someone the job that maybe isn't qualified or doesn't deserve it, things could go sideways, and then you're stuck in a really difficult spot. So I think he'll be really careful about going through this process and making sure that he tries to get this right.
Yeah, I agree. And I've said, I think that a proven head coach at the mid-major level is probably the play. I think the dream is Dusty May, but I don't know that he'll come. I think that he's not waiting for a Power 5 job. I think he's waiting for the Power 5 job. He is that hot of a commodity. And then Carson and I discussed Darian DeVries at Drake as well, who I think is probably a little more realistic and a hire that I would love. What do you think of those two names and the chances that Oklahoma State could or would go after and potentially land one of those guys?
Yeah, I would say Dusty would be like pipe dream, probably. Dusty May is, you know, for those who are listening, he's the coach at Florida Atlantic. He was previously like a student manager at Indiana back when Bob Knight was the coach. Like, he is kind of the golden child and will be, I think, probably the most highly compensated coach this carousel season if he leaves Florida Atlantic. I believe he probably will, but he did sign a 10-year deal with the school last year. My gut tells me probably goes to Ohio State or Louisville, both of which are going to be open. And Indiana is, you know, I think is probably looming out there. I think Indiana is probably going to stick with Mike Woodson, but if they fire him, I think that would make a lot of sense for Dusty to go back home there and to become a Hoosier. Who was the other name that you mentioned there?
It was Darian DeVries at Drake.
Yeah, at Drake. He's been there since 2018. He's been really consistent. I think a really good like mid-major prospect to keep an eye on. I think he's probably a little bit farther down the list, but you could do a lot worse than Darian DeVries. His son is really good. He's going to be a senior. Drake, since he took over, hasn't had fewer than 20 wins in a single season. He's got Drake on path to make the NCAA tournament for a third consecutive year. You know, they're 28-6 this year. So that's a good name to probably keep an eye on. There's, you know, a ton of other kind of mid-major names as well. I would throw out Will Wade from McNeese, interesting coach, just dominated the Southland. People may remember Will Wade from LSU. He is currently serving a show cause penalty for on FBI wiretap was heard saying that he made a strong bleep offer to a recruit.
Chad can't do that, can he?
Yeah.
What? They're still on probation as we speak. Aren't they going off next year? But I mean, come on, they can't do that.
I think if you are taking McNeese to a 30-3 record, you're going to the NCAAs. You have a 105-51 record at LSU. You were dominant at VCU. Yeah, I mean, I think you could at least look that direction. the show cause, I think, is up, by the way, in like 2 years. So it's kind of like they're keeping an eye on him. But he's still coaching right now. He started the season on the bench, suspended at McNeese. So, I mean, like, that's a situation. I don't know if you want to get into it, but, like, I'm down. He's a great coach. He's still really young. He runs great stuff. He recruits at a really high level. And, oh, by the way, like, paying players is legal now. So make all your strong bleep offers and get some players to Oklahoma State for sure.
Well, I can certainly get behind that. I didn't mean to cut you off. You know, that Colby kind of laid out our two guys we talked about. You started kind of going down. You know, what are you hearing, Kyle? I mean, what, from your perspective, who should they hire and who are some of the names you think will get an interview?
Yeah, those are probably the names that I think are interesting to maybe keep an eye on. I haven't heard any specific names that, you know, Oklahoma State's necessarily targeting. Some names that I think are going to probably be realistic candidates: Josh Schertz from Indiana State, the Sycamores. He crushed at the Division II level. He turned Lincoln Memorial into a juggernaut, which is, I mean, no one even knows what Lincoln Memorial is, but it's Division II school. Indiana State's probably going to go to the NCAAs this year. Maybe not, but they run a modern three-point heavy offensive attack. They're really good on offense, fun to watch. Danny Sprinkle from Utah State, another one that I think is going to be a hot name in the carousel this season. Crushed it at Montana State, won the Mountain West this year in his first year at Utah State, about to be in the NCAA tournament for the third straight year. He's from Washington, and the Washington job just opened. There's been some maybe scuttlebutt that he may stay on the West Coast. Staying at Washington wouldn't make a lot of sense. Kyle Smith at Washington State, another one. Started at Columbia. He was successful at San Francisco, has Washington State in the NCAAs. I don't necessarily love that one, but I think it would make a lot of sense. It's really hard to win at Washington State, and he's done that at a pretty high level. So I think that's pretty interesting. One more name I would probably throw out, Nico Medved from Colorado State. I think he's probably in line for a bigger job if he wants to leave Colorado State. Took over at Furman in 2013, best team in the conference within the last 4 years. His first season they went, like 9-22, something like that. And has just built like a total monster at Colorado State. So that would be an interesting one to keep an eye on. If he wants to make a leap, Medved would make some sense. There's a lot of scuttlebutt that he runs good stuff. He's a good offensive coach, et cetera, et cetera. ESPN, by the way, reported earlier today, it looks like that maybe keep an eye on Buzz Williams. What do you guys think about that? That would be kind of mildly interesting. Texas A&M head coach.
Carson's direction, Buzz Williams, that would be interesting. I don't know that gets me as excited as some of the other names we've thrown out. That's just kind of a name from the past.
That's actually who I wanted them to hire when they hired Mike Boynton.
Yeah, me too.
time is a flat circle. I haven't looked him up at A&M lately. I'll pull it up as we're talking. I'm a Wikipedia coaching search type of guy. Obviously,
yeah, no, that's reasonable. He's been good. I mean, he's good everywhere he's gone. You know, maybe he's not a top 10 coach in college basketball, but if you want your program to win 20 plus games every single year and make the NCAA tournament, like, Buzz Williams could do that for you.
Was the cupboard just empty? Because he's only made one. He was second last year in the SEC, but now he's seventh again.
So did they make the NCAAs last year? If not, they were like one of the first four left out.
They did
out.
Not. Yeah. They did. Yes, they were the first. They were in the first round.
Okay. Yeah, there was one year where they were, I think, like really close, and he was like notorious.
Yeah, they were NIT runner-up in 21-22.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think he could win at a high level at Oklahoma State. Again, I don't like, I'm probably with you guys. It doesn't really necessarily get me hot under the collar thinking about Buzz Williams coaching in Oklahoma State, just because there's some sexy young up and comers that would make some sense. But you go back to, you know, maybe what Weiberg is looking for, someone who has head coaching experience, has been a proven winner, has kind of adapted to the modern game, which is, you know, winning with transfers and turning things around fairly quickly. Buzz Williams checks a lot of those boxes. And maybe just a name to keep an eye on. He wasn't on my radar until ESPN mentioned him as a, like, you know, sneaky candidate. So that would be interesting.
Okay. All right. Let's talk and bring it back to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State has a lot of young players on the current roster, and individually I look at these players and I say, man, that guy is valuable. You want that guy on your team. And I also look at that, that group of players, and they were one of the worst teams in the Power Five and in the Big 12 conference. So how important, I guess, is roster retention in today's college basketball? If you bring a coach, you don't know how many players that guy brings with him. How many of those guys do you expect to stick around, and how important do you think it is in the big scheme of things that Oklahoma State gets all these young guys to stay?
Yeah, I would say, honestly, Colby, like the last 5 years has changed college basketball so much that, you know, I think coaches who maybe necessarily didn't deserve to have an extension on their contract were getting extra years because of the idea that, oh, well, this guy's here. So long as he's here, he can, you know, keep this roster intact. You can have some sort of familiarity and some continuity with your roster. Now it's totally different. It's the Wild West in college basketball. People are turning teams over every single year. Even the best teams in college basketball, maybe even especially the best teams in college basketball, are turning their rosters over almost every year. You're winning with transfers. You're winning with guys who are upperclassmen and experienced. So, yeah, like I would love to see Brandon Garrison back. I would love to see Eric Daly Jr. back. I would love to see Jamire Keller back. But like some of these guys, you know, I'm not entirely sure that they're not replaceable, at least to some extent. Now it's hard to find players like Brandon Garrison who have that size, or Daly who has that athleticism. But you look at McNeese, who I mentioned just a few minutes ago, Will Wade. Took over a McNeese program last year. They went 11-23. He's hired. He wins 30 games and loses three this year. They've only lost once since December, and a lot of this roster is just completely turned over. A lot of these guys played elsewhere before. You know, UMass, Shahada Wells, you know, played at TCU last year, previously played at UT Arlington. Antavian Collum, he was at Cal State Bakersfield before, was at McNeese State. So, like, honestly, it doesn't really matter roster retention wise. Like, I think you find the right coach who runs the right system, who runs the right stuff, who has the right staff, and you get players, and that's gonna be how it works. Like, it would be great to retain some of these players, but ultimately, I don't think you make any decisions based off of, you know, who may or may not be most likely to return next year.
Yeah, that's the world we're living in now with NIL, and certainly the next coach is going to have that issue buttoned up airtight for Chad Weiberg and company. I almost called you Colby. Kyle, we appreciate you coming on. I just had one more for you, and we'll get you out of here. You kind of touched on it. Oklahoma State basketball, in your view, should be top half of the Big 12. I completely agree with that. In the past, I thought it should be even higher than that. My confidence is shaken somewhat. Joe Masato from the Oklahoman just ranked them 12th out of 16 in the new Big 12. Opinions are really down on Oklahoma State in terms of what this job is. A lot of the detractors for the past 10, 20 years have pointed out that really only Coach Iba and Eddie Sutton have had any success, sustained success at Oklahoma State. Is your confidence shaken at all? And what type of job do you think Oklahoma State is? Because you cover this at the national level. You've seen what programs are capable of. What is OSU basketball capable of?
Yeah, I think I am an optimist, but I'm also a realist. I think reasonably Oklahoma State at worst should be in a similar position where Texas Tech is right now. You know, they've had some turnover at the coaching position. Chris Beard left. Mark Adams was fired. They went and hired Grant McCaslin from North Texas. And, you know, they're going to win, you know, 25 plus games and go to the NCAA tournament. That seems like a pretty reasonable expectation for Oklahoma State. You win 23, 24, 25 games every year. You're competing as a top three team in the Big 12. You have one of the best defenses in the conference. I think that's expectation for Oklahoma State. Now, I think in the modern era, you maybe adapt and hope that maybe your offensive system is maybe dragging you along more so than your defensive system. That's how a lot of teams are winning right now with, you know, the up-tempo stuff, the threes and layups, kind of cutting out, excising the mid-range game. But yeah, I think it is totally reasonable to expect that Oklahoma State in the new system of the Big 12 can be a top three, top four program in this league. Obviously, OU's leaving, Texas is leaving. You know, Houston's going to be up there. Iowa State's going to be up there. Baylor's going to be up there. But I think you put Oklahoma State, Baylor, Iowa State, you know, and Houston, really, even among the best. So, again, that's probably like an optimist's point of view. But, yeah, I really think having followed this program, you know, as a fan for so long and now kind of from a different perspective, I think things will change a little bit. I think there's going to be some renewed excitement, some momentum within this program for whoever they hire next. I think that they will figure out a way to kind of almost work through this NIL situation where they are more competitive in the Big 12. And I think that's important for them. I think that is definitely on their radar. And so, you know, it probably takes making the right hire to get boosters excited to making some payments and buying some players or committing to NIL. But yeah, I really am a little bit optimistic about kind of where Oklahoma State is right now. Obviously it's bleak right now. This season was awful. 4-14 in the Big 12 is not acceptable, but I am still optimistic that Oklahoma State, you know, when things are going the right direction, I think they can be a top three program in the Big 12.
It's so funny. I compared them to Tech too. I mean, Tech doesn't have half the tradition. They had done nothing since Bobby Knight. They hire Chris Beard. they're on their way, and that building is one of the toughest places to play all of a sudden. I love that comparison.
Yeah, their arena is like, I mean, it's lit every single night. Like, I think Galgariba, it's just sad, like, what it's become, you know? Like, I have family members who go to games, and it's like, they'll send me pictures, and it's just empty. Yeah. I talked to my parents earlier this week there at the Big 12 tournament, and OSU lost first round, obviously, and they weren't even, like, bummed. It's like, man, that was just, like, kind of embarrassing. And so, you know, you're not like ashamed to wear orange and black, but I think there'll be some renewed pride for this basketball program, new direction. You know, I think Chad's going to probably make the right hire, and I'm excited to see kind of where this thing goes, and, hopeful that, you know, that Oklahoma State can get back to its winning ways.
That's well said. Kyle, really appreciate your time, man. Thanks for coming on. It was great to get the old PFB crew back together one more time.
Thanks, Kyle.
For sure. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Right. See you, Kyle.
All right. See you.
That's Kyle Boone from CBS Sports. Colby, we got to get to our toast of the week. But first, this podcast is brought to you by Chris's University Spirit, your one-stop cowboy shop. Be sure to shop at chrisuniversityspirit.com. We got spring sports in full swing. We got softball and baseball out there on the diamond. So if you're in Stillwater for a game, be sure to stop by Chris's University Spirit. Get you a ball cap for that sun. I know the sun's going to be beating you down the stands. And it's also time for the Yingling Toast of the Week. Our friend of the show, Brian Metcalf, suggested we get out the Hershey Porter for this toast. The chocolate beer from Yingling, America's oldest brewery. We appreciate Yingling sponsoring our podcast. I've been seeing a lot of the flight commercials. You know how I feel about the flight. It's everywhere these days, so it you know it's good. So we appreciate Yingling sponsoring the pod as always. So Colby, any parting thoughts from Kyle? Or are you ready to get to our toast of the week?
I liked everything that Kyle had to say. The one main parting thought I think I'll give you. He talked me into Will Wade. He did. He talked me into Will
Wade.
Bit. You can pay guys now.
A little bit.
I mean, it was a strong case. It was a very strong case.
You start throwing out 30 and threes at me. I mean, I can look the other way a little bit, just a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, show cause, show wins. How about that? Show wins.
I covered this university for too long. Like, that just goes against the grain of like what Mike Holder stood for, what Chad Weiber, like they always go above and beyond to do the right thing. I have a hard time believing they would hire him, but hey, Like Kyle Boone said, like paying the players is legal now. So maybe it's no big deal. I don't know.
Also, think of how many puns I can make on this podcast. Where there's a will, there's a Wade, Carson.
Oh, no. Your dad jokes are on point. You haven't been a dad that long.
That's true, but I have been a dad for a lot of hours today since the kiddo was up so early. All right, let's move on to the Yingling Toast of the Week. And I'm going to talk about something that I love. It's one of my favorite things. And it's beating OU, and that's what baseball did on Tuesday, as they've done almost every time they've taken the diamond under Josh Holliday, and they beat them down. It was the last scheduled Bedlam game in Norman, and it was a little 14-5, thanks for having us at your just awful baseball facilities down there in Norman. It was a beatdown. I love it. Josh Holliday and the crew, well done. Yingling, toast of the week for that performance in Norman on Tuesday.
I love it. Always good to win Bedlam, especially baseball. Josh Holliday's record continues to improve in Bedlam. He's been awesome in that, so that's a good toast. I'm going to think Chad Weiberg. I mean, you could just kind of hear the excitement in Kyle Boone's voice. It got me excited, kind of hearing the excitement in his voice. And the reason for that is a new chapter. It's been a long time since Oklahoma State basketball was relevant. It's been so long, I almost forgot what that felt like. I almost forgot what it feels like to walk into a packed Galgariba, frothing at the mouth, a packed Galgariba experiencing a 10-0 run where the other coach calls a timeout and you can't hear the person next to you. It's been a long time, but I have full faith in Chad Weiberg. This was a big move, took some stones, and it's a clear statement of intent from him that this is not acceptable. OSU basketball, he believes, like Kyle and I do, and I'm sure you do as well, near the top of the Big 12 in terms of a program. So good on you, Chad Weiberg. I didn't know if you'd do it, didn't think you would, but this is a new chapter, and I'm excited for it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great stuff. Appreciate Kyle Boone joining us here on the Pistols Firing Pod. Always great to have him on. And if you want to send us your thoughts, any coaches that you like, thoughts on what we had to say today at Colby J. Powell, at Carson_OKC on Twitter. Carson, great stuff as always. We'll be back next week. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Go Pokes!